Washington is the most trade-dependent state in the country, but our regulatory process for trade and infrastructure investments has sadly become longer and more uncertain, jeopardizing our ability to lead the way on trade. Keep Washington Competitive, a business and labor coalition, believes that by fostering a regulatory environment that provides certainty and encourages investment, we will ensure our state is positive to thrive. It is paramount that our lawmakers and regulators work together with business and labor to sustain our state's vital trade industries for future generations of Washingtonians. Learn more at keepwashingtoncompetitive.com.
Welcome to the Sheriff's Report with your host, Spokane County Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich. Each week, Ozzie brings you up to date on the challenges and progress here in Spokane County as seen through his eyes. The Sheriff's Report is sponsored by Keep Washington Competitive. Now, here's Ozzie.
Radio base to the Sheriff. Come in, Sheriff.
Good afternoon, folks. We've had a little bit of a break since the last time I was able to be on air.
What, and have you been busy?
Just
doing your job?
Just a little. Sometimes that comes up. It's been an interesting summer. Summer's almost coming to a close. Kids are back in school. So let's do me a favor out there, and please remember that school zones,
yes,
have a different speed. And that will save you some money and save a kid possibly their life. So let's slow down out there. I've been in a few school zones here lately, Ken, and it hasn't gone well. I'm seeing a lot of speeding through the school zone. So
I have too. It's like they don't realize, and I don't. In some cases, it's not a matter of they don't know. School's back in session, because I've seen some moms with kids that are maybe taking to the junior high and they're dropping off, you know, elementary kids or whatever. It's time to pay attention.
It is, and yeah. soon enough, maybe sooner than any of us really want, there'll be this white stuff that hits the ground, and it will make things a lot worse as far as driving. It's called snow, ice. I know that people.
Well, it's the other season. It's construction season or snow season.
There you go. But it always amazes me that the first day of the snow,
yeah,
we will have multitudes of accidents.
Isn't it usually between the first real rain and the snow, 80 or 90 accidents around the Spokane area?
Usually the first day of snow, you'll have that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we really need to focus on, and maybe it's do a little bit of discussion and maybe some PSAs,
yeah,
before the snow actually hits, of reminding people that when it starts to snow, it means to slow down.
Yeah.
Give yourself a little bit more time. Just like when school comes back into session.
Yes.
Give yourself a little bit more time to drop the kids off to high school and into junior high and the elementary, and instead of trying to beat all land speed records, trying to get back and forth to places.
And then there are things, not only parents, but then there are grandchildren out there like mine, who starts to drive at the end of this month on his own. And so, oh boy. And by the way, when he sits in that right passenger seat, his grandpa, it's 25 here and you're going 32. It's like, oh, come on, you know, but Ozzy's not around, so I can get by with it. No, I'm kidding. But well, it's funny because, you know, he's gone through the training and all of that. He's now learning the stick shift because he's never driven a stick shift, and he's got his own little truck and all that. And here goes, you know. So on that day, I'll put out a warning on the radio for everybody to stay away from the South Hill.
Well, it sounds like the warning should about you. He's the one correcting you.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
Yeah. So parents, just remember that your kids do pay attention to how you drive.
Right. Yes, that's so true. I thought the speed limit thing signs were where it was a starting point. If it says 30, don't you just start at that?
Yeah, that's a good excuse.
Yeah, okay. Not going to hold up in court, though,
I don't think so. I think you're still getting that ticket.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like I'm the only one that goes a little faster, right?
Yeah, okay. You know, the number one complaint in Spokane County when it comes to crime, if you will,
yeah,
and this pretty much holds true almost every speaking engagement that I have, because I have a different format of speaking than most people. I hate canned speeches.
Yeah.
I hate giving them, and I hate listening to
right,
them.
Right, right.
So when I do speaking engagements, I open up immediately to questions.
Right, right.
And, you know, inevitably, it is not the drug house on the corner. It is not the property crimes. You'd think that that would be number
right.
one.
Yes.
It's not. It's the speeding in the neighborhood that people always, always, and they are adamantly and sometimes vehemently upset about the speeding in their neighborhoods.
Really?
And, you know, so.
Well, that's where they live. That's where their kids are. Exactly. They want to, I think we all think back to when we grew up, when it was safer on our streets, meaning that people didn't, you know, maybe once in a while our buddies did some drag racing and so forth, but that was loud enough you knew it was coming. But I mean, yeah, you know, you want your kids out front, not someone going 35 in a 25 mile an hour zone. So, yeah.
So, you know, speeding is the hot button issue that I inevitably we talk about. So, that would dictate that there's a lot of speeding going on out
right.
there.
Right.
And Kent, speed kills.
Yes.
That is one of the number one leading causes of death in a motor vehicle is speeding. DUI, inattentive driving, all that are up there, but speed is a major contributing factor to many, many accidents, especially with our youth.
Yeah.
And let's face it, folks, we all remember.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really important that we talk to our kids about, okay, yeah, that adrenaline rush is fine, but eventually you overdrive yourself, especially young drivers. They overdrive themselves. And I've done a lot of speaking at schools in reference to accidents.
Right.
Usually around graduation time.
Yes. Yes.
And
every year.
I have the kids. I said, look left, right, back and forward. You're probably sitting with your friends, right?
Yeah.
Now close your eyes and imagine not ever seeing them again.
Yeah.
Because that's a reality.
And we've seen that happen.
I've seen that happen.
Way too often.
I've lived that.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I really tell people. It's school time, but slow down in the school zones.
Yep.
Around graduation time, make sure that you're not speeding. Make sure you're drinking and driving, not a good idea. So there's a lot of things that we talk about with our kids, and sometimes I don't think we talk about them enough with those kids.
Well, I think in some ways we kind of just presume that they understand, and they don't have that knowledge, that experience that we know we're driving a couple of thousand pounds and that it doesn't stop on a dime, and it's not like riding your bike, you know, 5 miles an hour down the street. You can do some real damage, most likely kill somebody or maim them for the rest of their lives. Yeah.
And you know, you mentioned just something right there. A couple of thousand pounds and it doesn't stop on a dime. Here's one thing to remember also, folks, when it gets slick outside. Being in four-wheel drive does not help you stop.
No, I know. But they drive like they do, like they think so, don't they?
I have four-wheel drive. I can...
Yeah.
Well, time out. That might help you stay on the road, but it does not help you stop.
I don't know how many times I've been on I-90. You see that person in that far left lane going way beyond any reasonable speed because they've got the four-wheel drive. And then, you know, a few miles down the road, you know who you see over on the side? That driver and that four-wheel drive car.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
hey, I've got to ask a question, and part of why, you know, you invite me here is to ask some of the questions that our listeners and others that I come across during the week, because we have a lot of guests come in. And one of the things in the news the other day is the confirmation, and now this is city, not county, but it brings up a lot of issues, and that's the city ombudsman, and that now there's a permanent person in there. And often when that happens, the question comes up, well, what about the county? So let's talk about that for a minute.
You know, I'm glad to see that the city finally has a new ombudsman, because it's been almost 2 years since the former ombudsman, Tim Burns, resigned. I think that they have, I think they actually did it maybe right this time. The person that they've selected has been the acting ombudsman, if you will, for about 6 months.
So they've had a chance to observe him.
Right. And I believe that I believe he's a good guy.
Okay.
I believe he's knowledgeable. I think that he brings a good mix to the table. So you know, finally, some kudos to the city. They may have gotten this one right. I've had a
You're not referring to the fact that maybe they haven't gotten some things right in the last couple of years. No, we won't go there.
We won't go there.
Okay. Sorry. This is unscripted.
Yeah, but, it is.
Yeah. It's like...
And sometimes I just look at him, folks, and go, yeah, why'd you go there?
Yeah, I know. Okay, Governor.
You can't
control me, can you?
No, I can't.
Yeah, I have the feeling I won't be invited back for a while.
Yeah.
How tight do the handcuffs...
Keep it up.
Okay.
Oh, you know, the reality is the city has an ombudsman system.
Yes.
That was brought forward through an initiative. And, you know, quite frankly, it sort of works.
Yeah.
But it really doesn't in many respects. And I don't mean that to be contrary or anything else. That's just an observation from the outside, because they want to say independent, but there is no independence here. It's pretty much dictated what can and can't happen by the Spokane City Police Guild.
Ah, okay.
And, you know, tell me where there's independence here.
Well, and they're going to have their interest in mind, as any group would, meaning your union.
Well, trust me, I know all about that. I have those scars from where, you know, because a member of the SPD is head of the statewide union, WA COPS, and you know, that's a group that fought my initiative to have legislation that said police officers shouldn't commit crimes or lie on duty. You know.
What a novel concept.
What a novel concept. But they fought that.
Yeah.
So did the police guild. So did all the police unions in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why? None of you want to work with those type of people.
Right, right.
But, you know, there's a disconnect between union leadership and police officers. The police officers do not want to work
with
those
type of
people.
That's pretty true in most union situations, Ozzy. Yeah. It really is.
It is. But not always, because I can tell you, I was a union president for 8 years. We didn't put up with this. I literally had conversations with people going, there's not a thing I can do for you, nor am I going to. What you did is bad.
Yeah.
Best you can hope is the boss is going to do what, you know, give you a break or whatever, but
right.
We're not fighting for that. Sometimes I think labor has lost their focus, in that labor was never designed to protect the slug. Labor was designed to ensure good wages, benefits,
right,
and safety.
Right.
But we've kind of lost our soul on that one. And my dad, believe it or not, I grew up in a United Mine Workers family.
Okay.
My family were coal miners. And I remember those conversations.
But you weren't a coal miner's daughter?
No.
Okay.
No, a son.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Little humor, very little.
Yeah, that was really weak.
Yeah, I know.
So we had these discussions at the table, and I'll never forget when my dad went to management as supervisor. within a year, he was like, I can't believe this. And he was not talking favorably about unions anymore. And I said, what's up with that? He said, one day you'll understand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what?
You understand.
I understand. They lost their focus. It's no longer about safety. It's no longer about good wages and jobs. It's more about conflict and protecting those who shouldn't be protected. So that's the dilemma that the ombudsman faces.
Mm-hmm.
So I've chatted with the new ombudsman very briefly. I said, you know, I really haven't reached out to you yet because I figured there's no sense in reaching out to somebody that may not be there.
Right, right.
Now he's in the saddle.
Well, now it's time to have a discussion.
It's time to have a discussion because his predecessor and I had a good working relationship. I brought his predecessor in to many investigations in the sheriff's office and had them work in tandem with the sheriff's office citizen advisory board. His predecessor and I had worked on a concept of maybe sharing the city system and the county system in a way where it's a little bit more transparent.
Okay.
to both systems.
Right.
Because, you know, our citizen advisory board can lend credibility to his decisions, and
right.
he can lend credibility to their decisions.
Sure.
We were near having an agreement on that when Tim resigned.
Oh.
And so that all fell apart for a few, almost 2 years now.
Yeah. Has it been that long?
It wow. has. Tim left in January of 14.
Wow.
So, January of, left. He started talking about leaving in December of 14, so I think
okay.
his last day was like December 31st or something.
Right.
Like that.
No, I think you're right. It was at the end of the year.
Right. So.
So, coming up on 2 years.
Coming up on 2 years.
Right.
In the meantime, you know, the city has been without or ombudsman, pretty much kind of a broke system through that time period. And our Citizens Advisory Board has been up and running ever since, you know, actually since 2000. But you remember, you had this group that came out and said the county doesn't have citizen oversight.
Right.
They don't have independent oversight. And I'm going, what are you talking about? And I have case after case after case that I can show them. The Center for Justice, Rick Eichstätt, in 2014, we started having a conversation of rewriting our Citizen Advisory Board's bylaws. He was invited to help with that process. He promised to help with that process. He was supposed to have me a working product before I went in front of the Board of County Commissioners in October 2014 so I could present it to the Board of County Commissioners.
Sure.
Because at that point, I was, if you remember, I said to the board, maybe it's time to look at combining or working together some kind of system with the city ombudsman. And the Center for Justice didn't come through with their side of it.
Sometimes it's easier to stand on the outside and point fingers.
It's worse than that.
Yeah.
It's really worse than that because they didn't follow through. I get this email the day before or day after I went before the Board of County Commissioners going, oh, I know we should have got this to you, and we apologize and everything, but we want to be your go-to. We want to help you in any way we can with this process. Didn't hear from until January of 2015. We re-invited him back to the table and said, okay, we're still working on the bylaws.
Right.
We'd really like your input. And we invited them to sit through one of our reviews,
okay,
of a very critical incident, an officer involved death incident. Mm. Okay, we'll do that. We'll be right there. Now, ask me if they ever showed up. No, they didn't. I'll
okay.
just answer that one real quick.
I knew the answer, folks.
They didn't.
Yeah.
PGLs was with them. PGLs didn't show up. They didn't show up. Didn't hear back from them. And next thing I know, Rick Eichstätt had written a petition on behalf of a guy by the name of Robert Lee, stating that Spokane County didn't have independent police oversight, or didn't have oversight.
Yeah, but Ozzie, and so many here, of these groups are, don't want to be part of the solution.
Well, they
really
like
don't.
To point the finger.
Exactly.
And then they don't want to be held accountable for, wait a minute, you know darn well that we had independent oversight.
Right.
We were asked to help us rewrite bylaws. You were asked to observe the process and give us feedback.
Right.
Then you have the audacity, and quite frankly, more in the line of you have... You were very false in what you said in that petition.
Right.
You knew better. You knew we had it. You had been invited to the table, and then you tried a political angle of forcing. What are you going to force? Because bottom line, if you really wanted to define independent, the city ombudsman is not an independent system. They're part of city government.
Mm-hmm.
This is not independent. You really want to know what an independent citizen oversight is? You're looking at him. It's called the sheriff, because the sheriff is elected by the people to oversee law enforcement.
Right.
I am the direct voice of the
people. And every 4 years, people have a choice.
And every 4 years, if I'm not upholding that end, they have a choice.
Right.
And, you know, for an agency who people claim didn't have or doesn't have oversight, independent oversight.
Right.
It's amazing that it looks like, yes, and I'm hoping we get that contract signed here very shortly, it looks like we will host in 2017 the National Citizen Oversights Convention here in Spokane.
Wow, we have a possibility of getting that.
Right now, we have been told you have it, but until I see the signatures on the contract,
right.
I'm not going to say we have it. But
that's an outstanding review, if you will, of what you're doing.
Exactly.
I mean, acknowledgement is the right word, probably, that because they're not going to go to a community where it isn't working.
Exactly.
I mean, how can they, right? You know, it would be like going to Chicago to talk about crime and hold a convention there. I mean, give me a break.
Well, you can hold a convention there about crime, maybe how to.
And see it firsthand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality is this is a huge feather in the cap of the community of Spokane County to be recognized at the national level for our citizen oversight commitment. And this on the heels of a group that said we didn't have it.
Right.
I mean, you remember a former undersheriff. We've never. Yeah. Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Maybe politics needs to be dropped out of the equation. But
yes.
The reality on that one is it was never about the citizen oversight. It was more about attacking the sheriff.
Well, and then holding the press conference where you have, let's face it, in town, mostly young people who are the reporters who don't know the depth of reality.
Right.
I mean, and I'm not blaming them because we don't know all about everything, but they don't know. They just hear this information, and that's what goes on the nightly news and so forth, because they're not going to dig any further.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm watching your clock over there, over your shoulder.
So am I, because we have two minutes left.
I know. let's real quickly talk about the whole major crimes thing, and we really need to spend some time next time. But you know what's going on. You've had two big homicides recently, and so forth. And what is that doing to your department?
You know, Kent, I intend on having my sergeant from that unit in studio to talk about
right.
some of this.
Right.
So struggles.
You got stuck with me. Yeah.
But the reality is, we're at the breaking point. That unit has not had an increase in size in the 21 years I've been sheriff, and probably 35 years that most of the guys that the older people.
Okay, but our population has gone up.
It's gone up
and the crimes have gone up.
But at the same time, Board of County Commissioners have not found fit to increase our manpower. Matter of fact, In 2008 to 2011, they reduced the sheriff's office manpower by 32 positions, and that has never come back. Almost a decade later, we're still down 32 positions, and we're
wait,
still...
Wait, you said 32 positions.
We lost 32 positions. Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm just taken back by that. That just sounds like it's just and decimated your department.
We have no traffic unit left. We have, you know... We used to have 18 property crimes detectives. We have 8. The major crimes hasn't changed, and things have changed around this community. And it's time that we do something about that. So
we need to show up at a county commissioner meeting, don't we? Yeah.
You really
and we
do.
Need to ask some questions of the candidates.
Yes. You need to ask some really hard questions of candidates because, you know, the same old answer is not going to cut it anymore, folks.
Right.
But major crimes, you know, it's just like out in the city. You know, we got criticized by Councilman Ed Pace out in the valley because he's like, we had a homicide and we had a robbery, and look at all these sheriff vehicles that showed up to handle these crimes.
Yeah.
And I scratched my head and went, Ed, what part of you contract with the sheriff's office, don't you understand? And because you contract with the sheriff's office, that means the full weight
you have
and force
the ability to...
of the sheriff's office comes to handle those crimes.
Right.
Without us, you can't handle these crimes.
Right.
And I just get tired of the politics.
Yeah.
I really do. That is purely political.
And so many times from people who don't really understand.
He understands, but he's just a politician.
Yeah.
He's a politician that wants to break a system. And, folks, I hope you remember that. I hope you remember Ed Pace and what he's all about. Folks, we're going to wrap it up. Next week, I hope to have Sergeant Jack Rosenthal with me, and we'll talk about some of these issues concerning major crimes. This is Sheriff Ozzy Knezovich with the Sheriff's Report. Have a great day.
The Sheriff's Report is a joint production of SpokaneTalksOnline.com and KTW 630 AM and 96.5 FM, which are solely responsible for its content. Ask a question, recommend a guest, and hear this program again online anytime at SpokaneTalksOnline.com. Have a safe day.
Over and out.
Washington is the most trade-dependent state in the country, but our regulatory process for trade and infrastructure investments has sadly become longer and more uncertain, jeopardizing our ability to lead the way on trade. Keep Washington Competitive, a business and labor coalition, believes that by fostering a regulatory environment that provides certainty and encourages investment, we will ensure our state is positive to thrive. It is paramount that our lawmakers and regulators work together with business and labor to sustain our state's vital trade industries for future generations of Washingtonians. Learn more at keepwashingtoncompetitive.com.